Good morning, church.
Good morning.
And you welcome visitors and family members from afar. We're glad to have all of you here today to offer our worship to the Lord, to celebrate Children's Sunday and the work of our teachers and the classes and all that good that has happened in those rooms over the year. I call us to worship with the words of Psalm 95. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and songs. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the flock under his care. This is the God who said, out of the mouths of infants and children, I will bring perfect praise. And so we who are the adults today getting to listen and watch these children offer their praise to the Lord as they've been taught through the year, it's an exciting time for us to see their expressions of faith. So we look forward to God's blessing on our time together. Krista and a special guest are going to help lead our opening songs.
Please turn to number 209. This is the day. Ready? Sing loud. Sing loud. Okay? Please stand. Sorry. If you're able. You want to stand? You want to sit? Okay. Sing it through twice. Number 193, God is so good.
Together. Lord God, you are the one whose Son said that we ought not hinder the children, but let them come to you, for such is the kingdom of God. And we praise you that it is to be entered like a child, even when we are old. So we thank you for this opportunity to worship you through the eyes of our children and the youth of our church, to hear what they have learned and to see them express the faith that they have been taught. And all of us now as the children of God would pray as Jesus taught us, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please be seated. I'd like to call on Ann Manna for an announcement about the Vacation Bible School.
Good morning. I'll grab it, then it'll be loud enough. Vacation Bible School. How many people here have ever been to Vacation Bible School in their life? Yes. Look at that. All those people in the back pews have been to Vacation Bible School too. Excellent. Well, Vacation Bible School is July 20th to 24th, the third week of July, guaranteed to be the hottest, driest week of the entire summer. Oh, wait a minute, not dry, humid. But it will be there. We will be here, and we'd love to have you with us. If you can devote some time, we'd love to have you. Whatever amount of time you can spend during that week, 9 to 12, any of the days. If that's not possible for you, your prayer support is coveted, and there will be other things that you could do to help with preparation. But most of all, right now, interested in getting a full staff in place as soon as possible. So if you can devote some time actually to be here with our excited and eager children, we would love to have you. You could speak to me or to Doug Whitmarsh, call the church office, and let us know what you're able to do. Kids, register. So we'll have all the stuff we need for you. So, thank you.
Thank you. Speaking of filling all the positions, I want to call your attention to one announcement that's on the back of the bulletin regarding the candidate for the TABCOM executive minister position. There are going to be meetings this week and on Saturday, especially to vote for this person. You can learn more about them. There's some information on the wall and table out there, but we look forward to filling the vacancy that will be left when Tony Pappas resigns. Other announcements of note in here are the ladies' kickoff party on Friday, June 26th. That's on the back of the insert. And also to remind you again of Choir for a Day. That's on the last Sunday of this month. That's where you come at 9:30. You practice a song you already know from the hymnal, and then we sing it during the worship service at 10 o'clock. It's not duet for a day. It's choir for a day. So anyone who has always thought, I'd love to sing in the choir, I just can't commit all that time, this is your day. Or if you think, I got a voice but it would wear people out, well, you're only going to sing it once. So come and join Choir for a Day, last Sunday of the month, June 28th at 9:30. I have a little bit to say at the end of the service today about the potluck to follow. So we look forward to all of you being able to share in that. It is a potluck, so if you didn't bring anything, you're fine. Come anyway. Be our guest because there's a lot of food, and we'll be plenty to share. Other announcements? Yep.
Thanks, Pat and Mike. If you could pull out the green bulletin insert, you're going to use both sides of this during the service, but one of the sides is our YouTube schedule. We've got a pretty full schedule for this summer. We just wanted to let you know about some of the things we're doing. We'd love to have you. We have a college and career and a high school Bible study that meets at my house every other Wednesday. That's going to be throughout the summer. We'd love to have folks come out to that, kids come out to that. And we've got a bunch of other things as well. We love summer. We don't want to have a summer letdown. We want to have a summer filled up. The kids are off from school. We'd love to have your kids come on out. If you have kids, cousins, grandkids that are between grades 6 and 12, and even up to up through college age and beyond, we'd love to have them, young people, come out to these different things. If you have any questions at all, my phone number is at the bottom of this little bulletin insert. On the opposite side, we're going to be doing, the high school is going to be doing a music video later. They love the idea that they don't have to get up there and perform. We've already done the music video. You're going to see it on the screen. And we hope you enjoy that as well. But keep this out for now, if you would. And we'll call on you to look at it again later on in the service. But we're so pleased to have you here to see your kids and grandkids today. And we would love to have you back at Vacation Bible School, like Ann's already mentioned, later in the summer, July 20th to the 24th. It's a great time.
We're very pleased this morning to start off our presentations with children from the Christian Children's Center who are going to sing two songs for you. Our next presentation will be by the preschool, pre-K, and kindergarten classes.
Little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. light of mine. I want to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out. Don't let Satan blow it out. Don't let Satan blow it out.
Children, obey your parents in everything.
Serve one another in love. Galatians 5:13.
Do good to all people. Galatians chapter 10:6.
Our next presentation will be a combined classes, grades 1 and 2 and grades 3 and 4.
Messages people are about, so I would love if we come home. I'm going to share that now.
The high school class members are going to be the ushers today to collect our tithe and offering, and we'll do that now after the prayer. So you'll pray with me. We want to continue to worship God with the presentation of these gifts that they might continue to serve the ministries of our church. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for the gifts that we can share. Even today, the family sharing the gift of their children and letting us see and hear their voices, their actions, their love for you. And we thank you that we can provide for those kinds of ministries through the gifts that we bring. So we commit these gifts to you and ask your blessing upon them through Christ our Lord. Amen.
The next presentation this morning will be the combined efforts of the grades 5 and 6 class and 7th and 8th grade class.
Good morning. The 5th and 6th and 7th and 8th have been studying the same curriculum, so we've decided to combine this year. We are studying Bible and Life by David C. Cook, and it focused on how to live godly in an ungodly world, touching on themes such as good and bad choices, taking a stand for God, following wisdom, and how now is the time to serve God. My daughter last year had a discussion in school with a group of kids, and she was talking about a Sunday school lesson. And somebody actually said to her, how can you follow the Bible? It's over 2,000 years old. It didn't even have women's rights back then. And this was a serious discussion among high schoolers. So that kind of motivated our class this year. After our lesson, we would turn it around and say, okay, how does this 2,000-year-old story pertain to you today? And that's what we did. But the 7th and 8th grade was an all-boy class. And these young men are very, very involved in extracurricular activities. So, when they weren't at hockey, baseball, lacrosse, Boy Scouts, they were with us. And to me, I praise God for the work that the Holy Spirit did in their lives, because at this age, they're old enough to stay home. So if they have an off week and they're with us because they want to be with us. So I praise God in the way the Holy Spirit worked in their lives this year. And without further ado, we're going to present one of their favorite stories from Daniel 5. Who wrote all over my wall?
goblets. Go fetch the gold, the gold and silver goblets my father Nebuchadnezzar took from the temple in Jerusalem.
I'm Detective Clues, Blue's Clues. Boy, my voice sounds like a girl. I've been in the detective business for a lot of years now, and I've had some pretty strange cases, including inheriting Mini-Me over there. But not all of them come close to the one I'm going to tell you about, the case of who wrote all over my wall. For most of my cases, someone comes to me asking for help. This one I got into all on my own. It started one morning as I was reading my paper.
At the palace last night, a hand appeared out of nowhere and wrote a message for King Belshazzar. You've got to be kidding me.
You've got to be kidding me.
A hand appeared and out of nowhere.
Really? A hand appeared out of nowhere.
I heard about the party with all the booze those people drank. They probably imagined the whole thing.
Yeah, they probably just imagined the whole thing.
Well, wait a minute. Here's a picture.
Yeah, look, there's a picture.
The wall definitely has writing on it, but someone must have just stepped up and written it. Hands just don't appear and write things.
Yeah, hands just don't appear and write things.
I can't believe the paper printed this. I don't believe it, and I'm going to get to the bottom of it just to prove the paper wrong.
Yeah, we'll prove the paper wrong.
Aha!
Aha!
Here's my first clue. The name of the servant who brought out the special goblets for the king last night to use.
Hello?
Good morning. My name is Clues. Blue's Clues. I'm with the Three Clues Detective Agency, and I'd like to ask you a couple of questions about the mysterious writing on the wall.
Okay, but I don't know much. How help I'll be. I've already told the police all I know.
Well, you never know about these things. Any information you can give will be greatly appreciated.
Okay, what do you want to know?
You were the servant who brought out the special goblets for the king to use at the party, right?
That's right.
Where did these items come from?
They actually were brought here a number of years ago by the king's grandfather.
And who would that be?
That was King Nebuchadnezzar. Early in his reign, King Nebuchadnezzar attacked the city of Jerusalem and defeated it. They had a magnificent temple. There were all kinds of items made of gold and silver. The king took them all out of the temple and brought them back here to Babylon and kept them stored here.
He just stored them and didn't use them?
That's right. You see, King Nebuchadnezzar learned that the Jews' God, the Most High God, rules over the whole earth. Those cups belong to him and his servants. So I think Nebuchadnezzar didn't use them out of respect to the Jews' God.
Well, why did Belshazzar use them then?
Belshazzar doesn't have the same respect for the Most High God as his grandfather did. He made me get those items so they could drink their wine from them.
I take you didn't really want to do that.
No, I didn't. I saw some of the mighty things that the Most High God did and realized that it was not a good idea to go against him.
I take it Belshazzar didn't share your feelings.
No, he didn't. As if that wasn't enough, he began to praise the gods of gold and silver while he was drinking. That's when the hand appeared and started writing on the wall.
Did you actually see the hand writing on the wall?
No, I had left to get some more food and drink for the people.
Tell me this. Do you believe that a hand just appeared and wrote a message?
From the way the king reacted, I firmly believe it had happened just as he said.
Thank you very much for your help. I'm not sure if that helped or not. Let's see. I don't see any more clues here. I think I need to go to the actual scene if I'm going to solve this.
Yeah, we need to go to the actual scene.
I was a little surprised at what the witness had to say. There's that girly voice again. I was sure he'd tell me that this was just a joke. He really believes a hand floating in the air did the writing. I called the palace and got permission to go over and examine the wall myself. There was something inside me, driving me to find the answer. I knew whatever it was, the answer was at the palace.
To the palace! To the palace! Let's see, there's definitely writing on the wall.
Yeah, there's definitely writing on the wall.
It's hard to make out what was used. I don't see any sign of ink or pencil lead. The height of the words is right for a person to do it. The floor is carpeted, so there won't be any footprints to help.
Good morning. You must be Detective Clues.
That's right. I'm Detective Clues, Blues Clues, from the Three Clues Detective Agency.
How can I help you?
I'm here to solve the mystery of the hand that wrote on the wall.
Yeah, he's here to solve the mystery.
What mystery? The paper was correct.
Are you trying to tell me that at a party where lots of people are drinking like that, they were last night, that you believe a hand just appeared and began writing?
You think a hand just appeared and began writing?
Yep.
Did you actually see the hand that wrote on the wall?
Nope.
Nope?
Nope.
Nope, I was dancing with the ladies.
Y-M-C-A.
Do-do-do-do-do-do, what? So what did you see?
When I came back, there was writing and the king was trembling.
So what did you do?
Yeah, what did you do?
I asked what happened.
And?
I wrote it down. A hand appeared and began writing. People were shaken up. Then the king said, "Whoever reads this writing and tells me what it means shall be clothed in purple, have a golden chain placed around his neck, and shall become the third ruler in the kingdom."
So what did you do?
Yeah, what did you do?
I tried to figure it out.
Were you successful?
Shh. Nope, I can't figure out things that have to do with Daniel's god.
This had to do with Daniel's god?
Yep, it was his cups they were drinking from while praising gods of gold and silver. I don't think Daniel's god was happy.
You think?
What happened next?
The queen said to get Daniel.
Can I speak with this Daniel?
Yes, sir. Yep, I'll get him.
I understand you want to talk with me?
Yep, I mean, that's right. My name is Detective Clues, Blues Clues, from the Three Clues Detective Agency. I'm here to try and figure out how this writing got here.
Yeah, how did the writing get here?
I give up.
You haven't been told? Didn't you read the paper?
Well, yeah, but I'm here to find out what really happened.
Yeah, what happened?
It happened just like you heard.
Okay, let's start where you arrived on the scene.
The king made some kind of offer if I would tell him what the writing meant. I told him to keep his gifts, but I would answer his questions anyway. Before I did, I reminded him how his grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar, had been a proud king at one point, but went insane for 7 years because of it. He didn't get his sanity back until he knew that the Most High God is the ruler of all. Belshazzar knew all of that, but refused to humble himself before the Most High God. In fact, he lifted himself up before God and dared desecrate the goblets that belonged to him. He used the very air that God let him breathe to praise the gods of gold and silver. God wrote him a message in a way that got his attention. Here's what the writing means. Mene means that God has numbered his kingdom and has ended it. It repeats for emphasis. It is going to happen. Tekel, Belshazzar has been weighed in the scales and found wanting. Because of his sin, he had to be judged. Peresin, his kingdom has been divided and been given to the Medes and the Persians.
Well, thank you. I think I've heard enough.
We've heard enough.
To the office!
To the office!
As I headed back to the office, thinking, oh no, it's my girly voice again, I tried to sort everything out that I had heard. I started this investigation thinking this was all a hoax, that it couldn't be an act of God. I didn't really believe that the God Daniel talked about really existed. Now I wasn't sure, but I knew that I was close to solving this whole problem. I just needed to sit down and think.
Now let me list all the facts that really happened. First, there are the goblets taken from the temple of the Most High God. This is the same God that is said to have acted in some pretty amazing ways when Nebuchadnezzar was king. Second, there's the drunken party where the king starts drinking out of these goblets and praising gods of gold and silver. I guess if I was God, I wouldn't be too happy about this myself. Third, there's the servant. He didn't want to see what happened, but had compelling testimony. The counselor didn't actually see the handwriting, but his description of the reaction of the king and the other indicates that something unusual happened. And finally, there's the testimony of Daniel. Wait a minute, this story sounds vaguely familiar. Yes, here it is, right here. I had the truth in front of me all along. It really was the hand of God.
There you have it. I had to face the facts, and not just the fact that I have a feminine thinking voice. The story was true. The other reason I knew it was true is because of what happened to King Belshazzar. The very night the hand wrote on the wall, the Medes and the Persians attacked the city, and only one person was killed, the king. He was tempted to get drunk and show off in front of his counselors and friends. He was tempted to be proud and made no effort to resist those temptations. He paid for it in the end. But Daniel, on the other hand, was also tempted to take expensive gifts from the king. He had no problem saying no to the temptation. Why? Because Daniel walked with God. He spent time with God every day, reading his word and talking with him. God gave him the strength to say no to the temptation he faced. If you know Jesus as your savior from sin, God will help you say no to temptations as well. When you are tempted to do something wrong, ask God for help and he will give you the strength you need right away. For that to happen, you need to spend time with him every day. Maybe you are like me, someone who
didn't really believe in Lord Jesus. Once I finished this case, the first thing I did was confess my sins to God and ask him to be my forever friend. Well, I've got more cases to look into. This is Clues of the Three Clues Detective Agency saying so long. If you ever have a case that needs solving, just give me a ring and I'd be glad to help for a fee.
Yeah, for a fee.
Time of the program, we'd like you to pull out your green insert. I know it's been tough, particularly for our young folks, to sit this long, but we'll try to make this quick. But there's words to the song Screen Door. It's a song by Rich Mullins. It talks about the book of James. It talks about faith without works being dead. That we're going to show the video in just a second, but I had some trees years ago that were planted in our yard, weeping cherry trees, and for a couple of years they bore fruit. They had beautiful flowers that came out, but after a while they stopped producing fruit, stopped producing flowers, and we were eventually able to pull them out, just give them a good yank and pull them out of the ground. And they didn't have good roots, they didn't have solid roots for whatever the reason. And the book of James tells us that faith is the root of our walk in Christ, but works are the fruit, and we're going to be talking about that today. If you don't have works, you don't have faith, because our faith results in works, and that's what the book of James teaches. Rootedness leads to fruitfulness, and we invite you to take out these green bulletin inserts, follow along the words to the song that the kids have acted out in the music video. And I'll ask Rick Little to shut the lights off, if you would, please, so you can see the video.
As useless as a screen door on a submarine. Faith without works, baby, it just ain't happening. One is your left hand, one is your right. It'll take two strong arms to hold on tight. Some folks have cut off the nose just to spite their face. I think you need some words to show for your alleged faith. Well, there's a difference, you know, between having faith and playing make-believe. One will make you grow, the other one just make you sleep. Talk about it, but I really think you ought to take a leap off of the ship before you claim to walk on water. Faith without words, like a song you can't sing. It's about as useless as a screen door on a submarine. Faith comes from God, from every word that he breathes. He lets you take it to your heart so you can give it hands and feet. Gotta be active if it's gonna be alive. You gotta put it into practice, otherwise it's about as useless as a screen door on a submarine. Faith without works, baby, it just ain't happening. One is your right, one is your left. It's your light, your guide, your life and your breath. But faith without works, it's something you can't see. Useless as a screen door on a submarine. Faith without works, like a song you can't sing. It's about as useless as a screen door on a submarine.
Here we are. several of them are here today. And I'd like to call them all up to the front. We've got four of them. We've got Tyler Perret, Alyssa Collins. We've got Ricky Little and George Cellini. So it's difficult as it is to take a bow. We'd like you to take a bow. This is for Tyler. Actually, do you want to say where you're, what you're doing next year? Going to Massachusetts Community College. Yeah. Alyssa Collins, what are you doing next year?
I'm going to Clark University,
Western Studies
Psychology.
Woo! What are you doing next year?
University of Massachusetts Boston.
Yes. And George Cellini, what are you doing next year?
On behalf of the Women's Fellowship of First Baptist Church, also known as the American Baptist Women's Ministries, we're very happy to present three book grant scholarships this morning. Ricky Little will be going to UMass Boston, Tyler Perret, Massasoit, and Alyssa Collins, Clark University.
I invite you to stand as you are able, stretch a little bit, and we're going to sing number 185, Jesus Loves Me.
we also have three perfect attendance awards. The first one is Alice Willis. Okay. It's a little embarrassing. The second one is me. But the third one is the reason I'm here every Sunday, and that's my wife, Marsha.
It's
just been a wonderful year in terms of our staff. Faithful, here, never have to worry. And so we'd like to recognize from the nursery, Marsha Whitmarsh and Shirley Hill. It will speed things up if you wait and applaud all of them at the end so I can go faster with the names. From the preschool, Jeannie Little, Callie Lyons, and Susan Mulford. From the first and second grade, Alice Willis and Michelle Collins. Third and fourth grade, Karen Seeley and Stephanie Collins. From the fifth and sixth grade, Christine Brown. Seventh and eighth grade, Lori Collins and Andrea Cellini. And high school, Bob McKinnon.
And Mike Collins.
And Mike Collins. And from adult class, Bob is going to come up, and we're going to also acknowledge our youth staff.
In the time I've been here, the church has been so supportive, particularly with the adults that have helped out with youth group through the years. I just wanted to recognize these following folks. Chris and Michelle Collins, Rick and Jeannie Little, Ellen Bickford, Mike Collins, John Gillett, and Sarah McKinnon. And they've been just a wonderful, wonderful help. We couldn't do near the things that we do without them. So come on up. Good deal.
Society where we like to boast a lot, from whatever point we might score in a game to a point we might score in an argument. To a boasting group of people, this is what the Lord says: let the one who boasts not boast of their wisdom. It says, let the wise not boast of their wisdom. So if you've got all these diplomas and certificates, don't boast about that. It says, don't boast of your strength, but not the strong boast of their strength. If you're pumping iron and you've got a personal record in a 100-yard dash, that dates me, it's 100 meter anymore. But whatever your strength is accomplished, God says don't boast about that. And then God says, let not the rich boast in their riches. And we tend to do that. You look at the celebrities, you look at the salaries, and all this boasting about what I have and what I possess and what I own. God says, let the one who boasts boast about this, that they understand and know me, that I am the Lord. And so I just want to compliment this church and its teachers who have recognized the highest education these kids can get is to know the Lord. The most important knowledge they could ever have is to know who the Lord is, the Lord of the Scripture. Because this is the God who practices justice and kindness and righteousness in the earth. And as we, who are God's people, do that as well, especially for children, and youth who need advocates, who need mentors, who need models, who need teachers, who need friends and advocates in the world. We are just thankful to those who teach them, thankful to you parents and grandparents who support them and pray for them and guard them in your homes, for the way the church as a whole supports the youth program here through the Children's Center and through the Sunday School program. It's just such a blessing to know that you are doing what God wants done for the youth, to teach them to know the Lord. That's the most important thing they can ever learn. And so encourage them to be strong and encourage them to be wise and to be well off, but don't let them boast about that. Boast about the fact that they know the Lord and you have helped to teach them that, because that will bless their lives more than you can imagine. And you who have helped them learn that knowledge will be blessed as well. Well, with that, let's move to our closing hymn. It's number 602. I invite you to stand for I Have Decided to Follow Jesus.